Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a
hump day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Hopefully everybody's Wednesday is off to a great start. Bundle up. It's freezing out there. Woo-hoo. Good morning to you, Randy.
Hump day.
There he is. Woo-hoo. There's our favorite camel. Good morning to you, Randy. How are
What's
you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, all good on a hump day. Hopefully everybody out there having a good morning. Bundled up. Because it's brick out there, brother. You know, I wore me a damn vest today, man. I wore for you.
Good vest.
Yeah, I wore for you. It seemed like something that you might have in your closet. So.
Well, it's kind of, well, not quite, but kind of close to the flannel I have on today.
Yeah, something that I thought that you would enjoy. But it is a good Wednesday as we are a day away from the college football playoffs.
True.
3 days removed from a disaster, which we don't really have to talk about anymore.
Yeah, well. Yeah,
I can always say that.
I like that. Like, you know what? I think we're done. We're removed. So that's an interesting way to put it. Like, what disaster? Sunday?
Yeah.
Or the whole season?
Sunday.
Okay. Because I feel like the disaster is ongoing. Like it's sort of, you know, it's a continual.
It could be.
Disaster.
It could be. But I mean, overall,
like, it's been more than just, you know, Sunday was a disaster, but also the final half of the season was a disaster. Also, the last 7 years have been a disaster. We're kind of in a disaster.
I'm trying to just keep it in one way, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there was some good stuff that happened. What a great game up there. Stegman yesterday.
No kidding.
The great game.
You get to watch any of that?
I watched all of it. Yeah. Because Samson was doing something. I guess it was on a TikTok or whatever he was doing. He was like, Dad, Georgia's about to play Kentucky. I was like, oh, word. Okay, let's turn it on. And then I got to it a little bit. I watched the whole second half, but got to right before the half-court shot.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, let's sit here and watch this and everything. Great win for Georgia. And obviously the crowd was just amazing. That swag surfing. It ain't for every crowd, but all right. But, it ain't for every crowd.
I just don't understand. Like,
it ain't for swag
and surf.
It's so easy.
It ain't for every crowd.
How do people not do it?
If you don't see that all the time, swag and surfing ain't for everybody.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it was a great
It's
win.
Such a good litmus test, though, because if you have any rhythm at all, it's just not a difficult thing to do.
Again,
but if you don't.
Again, that's why I said
everybody's bumping into each other.
It ain't for everybody, but they look like they were having fun, so that's all that matters.
That's right. That's all that matters.
And then
here's my thought, though. Yeah. I know we'll get to the Hawks in just a second. Like, Georgia belonged. Like, that wasn't a fluke.
No.
They played better than Kentucky.
Yes.
They're just as athletic as them. Like, they got easy buckets. They got a lead and held on to it. Like,
that was
there
the
wasn't
when
really...
When it got down to, like, 55-50, I was like, oh, come on, man. Come on.
Yeah. They did a pretty good job of keeping them at arm's length the entire second half of that game. And they got guys, man. Like, Asa Newell's a good player. Like, they got dudes on that team. So, we've been asking for it forever and wondering why it couldn't ever happen. It could. Just why hadn't it? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, they're 13-2 now.
Yeah.
The SEC is as good as any conference has been in basketball in a long time. The only undefeated team in the country got beat by 30 last night.
Yes.
Florida beat Tennessee by 30 last night, which is outrageous.
Like, when I saw that, I was like, hold on, is that a right score?
I don't. Like, what happened? Did half the guys not play? No, everybody played. They just got smoked.
Yeah.
But it was a great win by Georgia last night and kind of validating as well because they hadn't played a ton of tough teams up until last night. But Kentucky was sixth in the country.
It was a couple weeks ago when the top 25 came out and Georgia wasn't in. Like,
right. They will be now.
But, great win by them. And then, I mean, we talked about this game probably with Mike Conte. I don't know if we said it on the air or off there. They need to get right. Talking about the Hawks. They need to get right.
Does that
You're playing in Utah.
Does that count as a get right?
He won.
They won.
He won. That was the most important thing, man. But, I mean, you look at it, it's just like, how do you let him get that three off, first of all? But here comes Trey, who balled 2020 yesterday.
Yep.
And, I mean, just the shot for ages. And I'm sitting there looking at it. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But and then if they were down by four, that was an and one too. The dude hit him.
Yeah, dude. Sexton didn't let him land.
Yeah, he hit him.
I know.
And so
they would never call that on a half court.
I know they would never call
it. But it definitely was. He did not let him land.
But what a damn shot by Trey, man. I mean, it led SportsCenter this morning and everything like that. And they needed it, boy. Boy, they didn't need that one just because of the West Coast ain't been too kind to them right now.
No. They'd been getting pretty well stomped out by everybody on that trip thus far. Yeah. They won the game.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's most important.
And that's the most important thing, because if they would have lost the Jazz last night, who were 9-26, that would have been a real issue. I don't know, fully get right, because I don't think that they're going to be right until everybody's healthy. Like, it just is what it is. Like, when they have all their guys, they play pretty good ball. I mean, they've beaten the Cleveland Cavaliers a couple times this year. The Cavs have lost 4 games all season. They play the Thunder tonight, who have lost 5 games all season. Thunder on a 15-game winning streak. Cavs are on a 10-game winning streak. That's never happened before in NBA history where two teams on winning streaks like that are playing. They both have like 70%+ win percentage.
Who do you believe in? Which one are you saying?
I believe in them both.
Really?
Honestly. Yeah. Does that say, obviously, not, both of them can't win a championship? Yeah. But, okay. I genuinely believe in the Thunder.
Yeah.
In the Thunder. And Chet Holmgren hasn't even played in a long time. So when he gets back, you have to think that that adds to it. I don't know. Maybe it complicates things. You know how sometimes great players come back and kind of mess up the flow?
Right.
But SGA.
He's on another level.
He's the MVP of the league this year so far and is one of the 5 best players in the world. So that's what it is. That's real. They also just have remember when the Eagles had like waves of pass rush that they could throw at you a couple years ago?
Right.
That's the Thunder's defense. They just have like 10 guys on that team that can come off the bench and defend anybody on the perimeter. It's insane. Like, they've done a great job drafting. I believe in them. They also went to the Western Conference Finals last year.
They did.
So they're kind of building the way that you kind of do normally. They're having a normal climb. I don't know. I've watched the Cavs play enough times this year where it's like, it's not a fluke. Like their their splits are crazy, man. Like they're good defensively. I mean, it's amazing what a good coach can do. Donovan Mitchell has made a huge jump as far as just sharing the basketball and just being a better facilitator. He's always been able to score, but he just is so much more comfortable in what they're doing offensively. I think the biggest thing is Evan Mobley. Like, Evan Mobley,
he's taking another one.
Has turned into like he's like KG Jr. Like, that dude's an absolute monster now.
I think that was what they were talking about last year, waiting for him. They were like, if this dude can play up to the potential that we all think he has, then this team can go there. Because like you said, Donovan's always going to do Donovan. He's a straight up certified bucket getter. And to me, it seemed like him and Garland and probably Coach Atkinson all sat down.
That's a huge part of it.
Yeah, and sat down.
Kenny Atkinson could coach his ass off.
And they
off.
Sat down, and he was like, okay, guys. This is what I need for both of y'all for us to be successful. And I think that has rubbed off on them. And they have been now. I still like Boston in the East. They had a big win last night out in Denver. And that damn Jason Tatum, man. This dude, he is like – he got like pissed off written on the back of his neck about this whole – everything that happened this summer and everything. Because this dude, like everything you want in a player – he's a complete basketball player. He got handles. He can shoot. He can get his own. He can get to the hole. He can defend. This dude has no holes in his game right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he shoots too many damn threes.
And they're, you know, they won it last year. So they're in that, like, that regular season. All right. Let's just kind of, you know, we'll win our games, but we don't need to prove anything. Yeah. We kind of proved it last year. They're 27-10. They're second in the Eastern Conference. Like, they're very clearly one of those two teams. I mean, it's the Cavs and the Celtics. I'd be shocked if that's not the Eastern Conference Finals. And I'm with you. Like, I believe the Cavs are one of the 4 or 5 best teams in the league. I don't know if they can actually beat the Celtics in a 7-game series, but I think that they'll be there.
Yeah.
Other than that, like,
there's
Knicks are fine. I just, again, I don't buy it on a big stage.
Tibbs going to run them to the ground.
Yeah.
Yep.
Magic, it'll be interesting when they get healthy as well, because they've been able to manage a lot of injuries too. And then just kind of on down. Like, there's just everybody's got a bunch of flaws. Like, the Heat, what even is happening there? They're going to have to trade Jimmy Butler. And then the Hawks are right there in 7th. Here's why I hope that it's real, because the Cavs are 31-4. Like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's an insane record. Mm-hmm. The Thunder are 30-5. That's very similarly insane. If those guys get in the playoffs and flop, all that says is everybody's right about the regular season being a joke. You know what I mean? Like, if they can do that in the regular season and then
their,
the stars get to the playoffs, hit the switch, and they lose in the second round, then, yeah.
But that's the thing
then
about
it. The whole thing
but
is
you look
flawed.
At, you look at the teams, outside of those teams that have star players, they're capable of doing it. They're capable of hitting that damn switch. You know what I mean? You mean to tell me you're going to count out Giannis in the playoffs, even Dame?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about those guys.
I just know what he is, what 34 is.
They lost in the first round last year.
I know.
Healthy.
I know. But I still don't think that team was where it needed to be.
Plus, Doc's their coach now. So they're definitely going to lose in the playoffs.
They're going to lose in the second round.
Yeah.
That's Doc.
They're losing game seven in the second round.
Yeah, they're losing second round to damn Orlando.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they're losing them. Then Giannis be mad all offseason. Yeah. And tell him he wants to leave. Uh-huh. They're frowning all damn day. Uh-huh. Then Thanos, is his name Thanos?
Yeah, something
him like that. Yeah, Thanos,
I think it's
would be
Thanasis.
Him too.
Whatever. Same
thing. Yeah, they'll be all on podcasts and everything, and you know all that other stuff, man. But yeah, I mean, Denver, they're not where they need to be right now. You know, even though Joker's still just stupid sick.
Yeah,
and got him a new running buddy because Russ is taking Jamal's taking his role as Joker's best friend. Hmm. Russell is. I mean, come on, man. Now, Russell's been – I ain't saying he's been all-star Russell, but they just seem like they're just buddy-buddy.
Yeah, Jamal's healthy, though, too, so he's doing it. I like
– buddy-buddy.
Aaron Gordon is not. So, I mean, again, everybody's – that's such a hard part about the NBA right now. It's like you want to tune in and watch these games if there's, like, a good regular season matchup, and it's like, oh, all right, nobody's playing? Cool. That's a hard part of it, is you just never know who's going to be available and who's actually going to play. Like – Cavs are playing the Thunder tonight, like we said. I mean, obviously, Chet's been hurt for a while, so he's not going to be out there. But he else should be, though. Even with the Hawks game last night, like, Jalen Johnson is just banged up. The Hawks aren't the same
and
team
just
without
sucks,
him.
Man.
It does. It sucks.
Did you get a chance to see the clip when he played the Lakers and he dunked his dad was, like, doing the sideline interview, which is freaking awesome, you know? But, I mean, that's the thing. But we said this months ago with the Hawks. When he started playing ball, when everybody was together, like, okay, you got something right now when everybody's healthy. But if you got guys, especially your big-time starters, your biggest contributors are in and out the lineup too much.
Yeah, they're just going to be inconsistent when Jalen Johnson's not consistently in the lineup and healthy. Obviously, before the trade deadline, they've got to do something about the backup point guard position. Trey was unbelievable last night, 24-20, wins the game with a half-court buzzer beater. Phenomenal stuff. But when he's off the floor, you know. It's tough.
It's the same old,
like,
though, right?
Dyson Daniels was playing point guard last night, which is like, all right, you know, cool in a pinch, which it is a pinch. I mean, Vic Krejci had been kind of filling that role. He didn't really do it much last night. And, you know, you just don't really have that option when Kobe Bufkin is hurt. And Kobe Bufkin is hurt for the remainder of the season. So they got to find a way to go out there and get a backup point guard before the deadline. And I don't know, maybe something else, too. Like, maybe you try to upgrade another one of these spots. You have tradable assets for sure. It just depends on how willing you are to trade some of them. Because you got dudes that people will want.
Okay.
Like, Capella's tradable.
Okay.
But, like, people are going to call you about DeAndre Hunter. Like, DeAndre Hunter is $6 million a year in the NBA.
I'm not trading.
You could talk me into it.
For what? Not for a backup point guard?
No. Oh. But if you get, like, a good backup point guard and, like, a center who could stretch the floor a little bit, like, kind of add to the offense a little bit more than what Capella does.
But you're going to keep Capella.
Well, maybe trade Capella, too, in a different one.
I don't know if I want to trade
I got no offense on him. Like, he's having a great year. You got to sell high. Like, it's going to fall
I understand.
Apart at some point.
I definitely
right?
understand you come.
Like, yeah, you don't buy it, do you? You buying it?
I have to.
No, you don't.
I do. I have to buy DeAndre
Hunter.
He's
like year seven.
Because he's healthy.
Yeah, but, you know.
He's healthy.
He won't be at some point.
So
you got to sell high on
I'm
going
to wait to see.
Sell high.
All right, I'm going to wait to see.
I'm selling high. You get some assets back for that guy that are young, I'm doing it. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
They pick it up again. Sexton shoots a three and makes it with 2.9 to go. Hawks don't have time. Here's Trey. Midcourt fires. Bang! Trey Young just won the game. Trey Young just won the game, folks. Trey won from midcourt. He just stunned the silent crowd here in Utah. Trey Young from midcourt just knocked down a three, and the Hawks win. The Hawks win.
Damn right they did. From half court, Trey. Just a dead-eye three, right? I mean, because Sexton hit him for three right before that. And then Trey, man, those guys have a good, history of going back and forth. Obviously, they played AAU against each other, played against each other in college. When Sexton was in Cleveland, there was a bunch of good battles, and now he's there in Utah. Sexton always has good games against the Hawks. I know he's from here and all that. I love watching that dude play.
He can ball, man.
He is just an absolute pest, and had a good game last night, too. But, yeah, man, Trey from half court to win the game. He goes 24 points, 20 assists. Not the first time he's gone 20-20 this year.
Third time?
Yeah. No, just a dynamic performance from him, and they needed every single one of them because they were in a battle.
Which they shouldn't have
with
been.
The 9-26 Utah Jazz last night. They win 124-121. Now, I mean, you know, it was a question about who all was going to play for Utah last night. Markkanen played great. 35 points. He got hot in the second half at 1.2. They got a lot of size over there. Markkanen's obviously a big guy, kind of plays on the perimeter, but big. Walker Kessler's huge. Drew Eubanks comes off the bench and is big. Like, they're not a good team by any stretch of the imagination, but they got some pretty good players.
Well, they're trying to hang, you know what they're doing. They're trying to hold out for the guy, for that kid. And did you see him baptize somebody yet? Oh, my goodness gracious.
But that kid's in high school, right?
Who?
The kid they're trying to hold out for?
I thought they're trying to get the.
They're trying to get Cooper Flagg.
I thought they were trying to get Cooper Flagg, but the other kid we're talking about, the one that mysteriously went to the Utah
BYU, right?
Because we're not even going to go there.
No, everybody thinks Danny Ainge is trying to like.
Well, the owner went to BYU.
Oh, he did, the Utah owner?
Yeah,
that all makes sense. Didn't Danny Ainge go there too?
And that too.
Yeah.
And so it's all kind of, you know, fluffery.
But they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
The NBA draft lottery.
Hell, the Hawks got the number one pick.
Doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
Doesn't care what you do.
It doesn't matter. So who we get to pick? New Orleans is just god-awful.
Oh, are you talking right now?
Yeah, I think it would be New
Orleans. Worst team in the NBA right now is the Washington Wizards at 6-28. But it doesn't matter. This is the three worst teams. Right now, the three worst teams are the Raptors, the Wizards, and the Pelicans.
Okay.
So they all have equal odds to get that number one
pick.
And
neither of them will get it.
And none of them will get it.
Yeah.
It'll end up being... Who's the league want to throw a little nod to?
Would Pat Riley be able to get somebody to throw a lob? You got Cooper and Tyler.
White hot. It's white hot. It's a white out on
it'll
Miami
be play,
Beach.
It'll be the playoffs already. Huh?
Yeah.
It'll be the playoffs all season.
It's a white out every night down in Miami. they're in the sixth seed right now, so they're not even in the lottery.
Yeah, good for the Hawks, and they needed that one. It has not been the best of road trips for this team. And like you said, they've just been in and out of the inconsistencies as far as the actual bodies that are available to Coach Quinn. I thought that was like it was looking like, okay, they're complete control of this game. And like you said, they're never in control of games like this for some reason. That Sexton, what a great shot he got, too. I mean, it's like, okay, dagger. Get it in quick. And I thought that was a great thing. You got it in quick, giving Trey a running start. And when he let it go, I was like, oh, that's buckets right there, dog. And it went in.
Yeah, he got it right in rhythm.
Yeah. And then obviously the wave goodbye and everything, which was always awesome and everything. But there's so many angles. I know his dad posted one of the angles from up high. And after Sexton hit, the crowd goes bananas. Because we know how Utah, as bad as they are, their crowd is still going to be great. And then Trey comes back down to you. Just an unbelievable point.
That's one of the crowds that I enjoy seeing sad the most.
Obviously.
Don't like Utah Jazz fans, man, really, particularly.
I just recently spent some time in Utah, man.
You got a taste for it.
Yeah, I just recently spent some time in Utah, man.
How was it?
It's beautiful, man. The mountains and everything, it is lovely. The waitress at the California Pizza Kitchen, she was so nice. Lady at the California Pizza Kitchen was very, very nice.
And we got to see our old friend Patty Mills last night as well.
Hey, mate.
18 minutes off the bench for the Utah Jazz.
What year is this for Patty? He's got to be
43, probably.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's been in the NBA for 100 years.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to retire, and then he went and balled out in the Olympics and then got a contract.
Is that what happened?
Remember, he played great in the Olympics.
Right.
I thought he was done at the end of the season last season. And he was talking to us about it. He was like, yeah, you know, when it's all said and done, me and my wife and dog are going to move back to Hawaii.
It's lovely.
It's like, cool. Sounds great. And then the Jazz were like, why don't you come play for us for $22 million for a couple years? Like, I can buy a nicer house in Hawaii when it's all said and done.
I had a couple teammates live in Hawaii. It's got to be the coolest. Now, just to live out there.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have a little bit. You got to have the money.
Yeah, you got the money to live out there. But, yeah, that's just a cool place to go.
I'm trying to see what it is. Oh, okay, he signed a one-year, $3
million contract. Okay, so I was wondering where the hell you got the $22 million from.
My assumption is everyone that plays in the NBA makes at least $20 million, and it's not true. Not everyone. Most people, but not everyone. All right, let's hear a little college basketball. This is the first taste of college basketball on the show this year. That's how you know the Falcons season is over. Here's Mike White talking about Georgia's win over Kentucky.
Yeah, really good win, of course. Kentucky's one of the best teams in the country, one of the best offenses in the country. Run great stuff, got really good players. Thought our guys responded in a big way from a tough outing in Oxford against a team that defended us at a really high level. It was, could have been arguably our toughest performance and bounced back in a really big way. This is, of course, our biggest win.
Yeah, it's your biggest win.
Without question.
Without question. And, you know, I know a couple weeks ago we talked about it earlier in the show, you know, where they weren't in the top 25. And, you know, it was some dog basketball fans complaining and everything like that. But, yeah, they're going to be in it right now. They got one of the best records. They had a nice win against St. John's also this season. And, you know, the one thing about Coach White is that he's getting players in there. And then there's some other players that are coming next year also to add to, you know, hopefully you can keep some of the core that's there outside the NBA, but, you know, the transfer portal and everything like that. But, yeah, I mean, he's a damn good coach. He's a damn good coach. It seemed like that Florida course had run its course and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, good for the Dogs. Love to see when Stegman looks the way it looks mm-hmm. like. That's always a fun place to go. I know when we used to go up there when DA and Ezra and Jermaine Jones, all of them were there. Fun place to play. Had some big wins. I remember that one night they beat Kentucky, tubbing them up there. It was absolutely crazy. I got to check though because you know I don't go to no games up there. But is the red sweater man there?
Somebody listening was there last night.
If somebody was there last night,
let us know.
Just let me know if the red sweater man is still there.
Weird to watch Kentucky and not have John Calipari on the sideline.
It is, dude. And I kept looking.
I think I watched him play one game earlier this year.
How's Arkansas
doing? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Probably great.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
How's Arkansas doing?
All right, let's look it up.
That was the first thing I kept noticing. Like, damn. That's not Coach Cal.
Yeah, I know.
Damn, that's not Coach Cal.
Yeah, no, it's weird. Yeah. It's really, really weird.
Yeah, damn, that's not Coach Cal.
Scrolling.
Yeah.
Scrolling.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Damn, you got to scroll that far?
Well, SEC is down there. It's like it starts with an S, you know? You got all these other conferences in college.
No.
Well, where are they? They're still in the SEC, right?
Yes.
Arkansas?
Maybe. Yes.
They're 11-3.
Okay.
So they're pretty good.
Okay.
They're not ranked, though. They're 0-1 in SEC play.
Really?
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
They lost to Baylor, who's pretty good earlier in the year. They lost to Illinois, and they lost to Tennessee, who's the number one team in the country.
They got blitzed last night.
Yeah. Tennessee got beat by 30 last night by Florida. So it's just going to be a gauntlet in the SEC this year.
Let's get to the tournament.
Good luck to everybody.
Let's get to the tournament.
We talked college basketball once, and now we're like, let's get to the tournament.
Well, I mean, Georgia's
good.
Oh,
you want Georgia to get to – okay, sorry.
Yeah,
I thought you were saying, come on, college basketball.
Let's just fast forward the season
to the tournament.
I've never invested in Georgia basketball. I'm going to sit up here and lie.
It'd be cool if they did.
Well.
But people
told me before the season started, said, Georgia basketball, they're going to be pretty good, right?
I misunderstood what you were saying. Hey, so we got one more – head coach vacancy in the NFL. The Raiders let Antonio Pierce go do his end of season press conference and then fired him after.
Yep.
So that's not really the right way to do business.
No,
but
I don't think it is.
I'm not surprised he got fired. I'm surprised at how they did it.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, you lose 10 games in the season, man. And I know it's not your fault. They didn't get you a quarterback and all those different things like that. It's organizational failure.
Yeah, that's my thing with him and with Gerard Mayo. It's like everyone knew both of those teams were going to be bad this year.
You knew that. But then I look at it from a standpoint of, like, it was crazy because I forgot which insider was talking about going to the Giants situation and why they kept dayballing them is because they were talking about getting another, like, bridge gap quarterback being really bad, because the quarterback draft is supposed to be better next year, getting a top pick next year and getting a new head coach in there to pair with the quarterback.
Okay, so they're going to let dayball suck one more year.
What the hell makes you think the Giants are going to be good?
No, they're not.
Oh.
I just think dayball's a good coach.
I do, too.
I'd like to hope that's why they kept him, but I don't know if that's it or not.
They'd be
sad. I also kind of view them as like, they're a good franchise. Yeah, they're a pretty well-run franchise.
They are. The Mariners have owned that team, and everything. Now the Sun is actually taking over. But, yeah, they're one of the cornerstone franchises. They are. They're one of the blue blood franchises of the NFL. Mm-hmm. But they stink.
Oh, yeah.
They stink.
And they have for a while, too.
I mean,
they've been bad for a decade, pretty much.
Yeah, but, I mean,
ever since that boat picture. Ever since Odell and all those guys were on Odell took the boat with Timberlands on for some reason.
Odell took the spirit out of them. But yeah. No, I think that, you know, AP, it was doing the press conference and everything. But then, like, that's always the trick with hiring, like, interim coaches. Because they played hard for him because he wasn't Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, it's new coach energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. How do they not know that?
He embodied right.
How do we know this and they don't?
Black Air Force Ones. Yeah. Because your best players.
Yeah. Crosby went to bat for him.
Yep. I mean, yep. Even, Adams, they all vouched for him.
Devontae did. And then by Halloween, he was
man.
Please trade me. What the hell's going on, man? We got to get out of here. And I can't play another game with Gardner Minshew. Please don't make me. All right, we'll come back. Dave Archer's going to join us. Haven't had a chance to talk to Arch yet since the Falcons season came to an end. Get his thoughts on what went wrong. Get his thoughts on what they do next. Certainly some Michael Penix conversation as well. So don't go anywhere. Dave Archer after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's like the Falcons. It's been a long time since they went to the playoffs.
It really has.
Yeah, man.
Like 7 years is a long time. I wasn't even a dad last time they went to the playoffs. We got a bunch of them running around. All right. Welcome back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy. Wednesdays at 11:40. Dave Archer joins the show. Falcons Network analyst, former quarterback. Arch, how are you?
Babe!
I'm good, fellas. Good to be with you guys. Yeah, that's a great moment right there where you air guitar. That's one of the great air guitar moments if you like to do that kind of stuff, which I tended to do back in the day to a little bit of Boston. But it has been a long time. I agree with you, Andy. Yeah. And I figured you guys got it all figured out, so I can't wait to hear what you got to tell me.
Oh, yeah, man. We got all the answers, man.
Oh, yeah. We figured all of it out.
We figured it all out. Yeah.
Well, play better and win more games.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah. That's a good answer.
How do you explain? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of different reasons, but if you pinpoint one or two, they were playing some good football at 6-3. Everyone's fired up. They won a couple games in a row. Cousins is playing well. And then to go 2-6 in the final eight and finish 8-9 out of the playoffs. Like, what's the biggest reason they go from 6-3 to 8-9?
Yeah, I think that, Andy, when you look at it, there's always this conversation about complementary football. And I know we like to throw a little, lingo around and stuff like that. They were dysfunctional for about a four-game stretch there. You know, you didn't get very good play from the quarterback, which tend to pull the offense down, even though Bijan Robinson was doing his thing. You still pull down, the offense with the lack of good quarterback play. Your special teams were inconsistent. I mean, you can. It's not far to go out on a limb and say you lost the New Orleans game because you couldn't kick any field goals. Mm-hmm. And then the defense was hit or miss. They were in and out. You get three pretty good quarters against Minnesota, and then all of a sudden they champ out. You don't who are those guys out on the field in the fourth quarter? So. It's hard to when you're playing like that and you can't lean on one piece or two pieces of the three phases of the game, you become a team that's kind of looking around going, is somebody going to make a play here where we can win games? And that ultimately did them in that four-game stretch where they allowed Tampa to creep back into it and tie it up. And then down the stretch, I know a lot of people talked about our schedule and, oh, it's a weak schedule in the back end. Well, it wasn't so weak because Washington – wasn't that bad a football team, and the Chargers, you didn't know what you were going to get in Harbaugh's first year, but they were pretty good, defensively, certainly. So all that stuff about Denver not being very good, all that weak part of the back end of the schedule didn't really come to pass. So you needed to be at least good in two phases. And it seemed like you were pretty good in one phase occasionally during that four-game stretch.
Dave, I wanted to – because you mentioned his name, he's doing his thing. I thought that Bijan, the biggest improvement for him was the blitz pickup, Dave. He was hitting people in his face, hitting people in their face in all the blitz pickup. But this year, was that the biggest growth you saw in his game? And what do you think, what's his best attribute? Because I just think his vision is just unbelievable.
Wow, you've touched on a couple things there, Randy, and I'm not sure that you would grade him down very far in anything that he does.
Right.
His patience maybe was the best thing that I saw from a growth standpoint. I even think Tyler Allgeier has improved in that. Maybe watching Bijan run the ball this year, but his patience to wait. I thought that the touchdown run He had from inside the 10-yard line this weekend where he was stretching left and there was just nothing there. And then all of a sudden a crease opened and boom, he burst through it. And he was pressing the hole, waiting. And then the patience and then the acceleration. But I mean, my goodness, I mean, you mentioned the blitz pickup and they gave us a steady diet. You watched it, steady diet of A-gap blitz all year long. And he didn't shy away from any of that. He stepped up and took on guys that were 250 pounds. He took on safeties that were 195 pounds and they're trying to run around him. It didn't matter. He stepped up and took them on. And not only that, he carried the load in the run game, both physically and the speed and quickness to make you miss in the hole. So we've got a dynamic player at running back, guys. And I know you guys have been talking about it, but he's one of the three or four best guys in the league at the position. And I'm not too sure he's very far off of being the best guy in the league at the position.
I agree with you. One other thing I would add to that, too, is he had 300 carries. He didn't lose a single fumble. Like, his ball security got better from year one to year two. He only had four fumbles his rookie year. He had one fumble in 2024, and he fell on it. So the ball security got better as well. You mentioned it, and it's such a hard one to figure out because at times, especially post-bye, they're getting to the quarterback, and the pass rush got better. The defense looked solid, even for parts of games. And then the fourth quarter would come around, and it would kind of fall apart. Defense very inconsistent throughout the season. How do you explain that? And what are one or two things that you think they need to focus on this offseason to get better?
Yeah, obviously there's obviously some different ideas there. First thing you look at is, okay, what are we doing scheme wise? Does it fit? does it fit who we have? And are you providing easy opportunities for quarterbacks to get the ball out? Certainly that was the case early on when we couldn't get off the field on defense and, teams were possessing the ball 35 minutes of the game. Now, we were still winning some games, but you found yourself, as an offense, you had to be pretty perfect. You had to do a pretty good job of making sure you maximized your moments because you weren't going to see the ball very much. And then as we came out of the bye, there was a little bit of difference in that after the Denver game, they decided to shift gears and hug up a little bit tighter in coverage, which I thought lent itself to allowing guys to get home, And so if I'm making the quarterback hold the ball, it makes sense that I'm going to be able to get home in the pass rush. You also, there might have been a little bit of fool's gold there in that we faced two quarterbacks back-to-back that liked to hold the football. Justin Herbert is a guy that likes to hold the ball. Sam Darnold likes to hold the football. And so that might have lent itself to some of the numbers, but that doesn't indicate, what you did against Washington. You sacked Jaden Daniels five times. You can talk out of both sides of your mouth a little bit when it comes to that. So scheme would be what I'd look at. Obviously, personnel, you're going to have to look and see, do we have the right personnel to run what we want to run? And the last piece to it was we were dysfunctional in the fourth quarter on offense. I was tracking it, and I don't know if you guys were. Going into the game against this last week's game, we had scored 13 points in the fourth quarter in the last 10 games. Total.
Good Lord.
13 total points in the fourth quarter. So if I'm constantly on the field defensively trying to bow my back and get stops, at some point the bow's going to break there a little bit, right? And so the offense, as good as we liked it and as good as it really became the middle part of the year, and then later on as Michael got in the game and started to play some, and they were better certainly in this last game against Carolina, scored some points in the fourth quarter, but that was kind of an anomaly. We had not scored points in the fourth quarter, which puts more stress on your defense. So those are the three things that I would point to, guys.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that stark. That's crazy.
I did not realize
13 points in 10 weeks. That's crazy.
Talk to me about this signal caller, this young boy, because Washington, he missed some throws and everything, but he made some throws. We talked about the one to Kyle Pitts, but I mean, the growth, and obviously Davis still really, really early, but the growth from the first start to this start right here, what did you see from him as far as his performance, his patience, his poise? He's always been poised, but certain things that he did in these last three games.
Well, the cool part about it, Randy, is you're starting from like the sixth floor, right? We're not starting on the first floor because this guy's got some innate poise. innate calmness and ability, understanding of what you're trying to do, understanding of what coverages look like and stuff like that. So we're not ground floor here where we got to get up, you know, get up to a middle level. He's starting much higher than most people start at the quarterback position. The 49 games in college probably help with that, no question about it. But he's got a better understanding of what's going on, which now accelerates his growth and what you're expecting. But I think his idea of first of all, it's the innate ability to get the ball out on time. I think he's got a tremendous sense of timing. He made a couple throws in the game, and I know you guys have wowed on some throws. You talk about the throw to Drake on that seam post, his last touchdown. Them trusting him with 8 seconds left to go back to the back shoulder fade to Drake right there at the end of the half. They went 81 yards in six plays. They said 37 seconds he took them down the field and hit Drake for a touchdown right at the end of the half to make it 24-17. But his ability to see some things – he had two throws, and I'll point them out here real quickly for you guys. And one's just kind of a benign throw, but it hit me having played the position. There's a slot. He's got 2x2 set. He's got Kyle in the slot to his right, and he's got Drake outside. Okay, Kyle's running a seam route, and Carolina had walked the defender out to jam Kyle and then release into the flat to take away the short flat throw. He throws the ball right by the flat defender while he's trying to jam Kyle to Drake on a hitch route. Now, it was only an 8-yard play, but the zip, the confidence, and the timing to get the ball out, to just go get you at 8 yards on first down, phenomenal throw. And the other one was his recognition. He had a slot left. He had Ray in the slot. He had Drake outside. Drake runs a curl route at about 12 yards. Ray's running to the corner, deep angle corner route. They're playing a zone coverage, and the corner hesitates a moment. And I'm talking about a millisecond. He didn't even break on the curl route. He just hesitated. He threw the corner route to Ray, right over the top of the corner, dropped it right in the bucket. Big play to Ray. And he was asked when he came to the sideline, Raheem was shared this with me. I was asked when he came to the sideline, he said, why did you throw that? What took you there? He goes, oh, man, I saw the corner. I thought the corner sit down a little bit. And it was just casual like that, and that's who he is. He's just so calm in his understanding of what's going on. I'm telling you guys, I mean, let's hope, and I got my fingers crossed, let's hope that, you know, the growth continues that direction. But I think the thing that's really cool about it, Randy, is you're not starting on the ground floor. You're starting on about the sixth floor of this office building that hopefully has another
how many
25,
floors?
30 floors to go.
Okay, so that was my question, how many floors we got. Okay, good.
hopefully it's a skyscraper.
Yeah, we need to be in a skyscraper.
Yeah, man.
That sounds good. Hey, Arch, we appreciate it, as always. Thank you for the entire season. Hopefully a year from now we're talking about a playoff game.
Appreciate you so much, Dave.
Well, it's been fun to be with you guys. I know you guys do a really good job. I listen to you guys a great deal when I'm headed out to Flowery Branch or coming back. You guys do a great job. Keep breaking it down. And fun to be with you guys. Thanks for letting me be a part of it.
Appreciate
Thank
it,
you, Arch. That's Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Joins us on Wednesdays throughout the entire season. And then when the season's over, we say, talk to you in the summer.
Yeah.
we'll talk to Arch, you know, in
the draft and stuff like that.
Yeah, the weekly kind of comes to an end. But always love talking to Arch, getting his honest assessment of what it is. And, you know, he kind of gave a 3-part answer as far as what all went wrong. I did not know that the offense had been that dismal in the fourth quarter. I mean, yeah, 13 points in 10 weeks is outrageous.
And
that's how you lose a lot of games late. Especially they're in so many one-score games. You're not doing anything offensively late in the game. You're going to probably cough that game up. But yeah, the optimism over Penix is kind of where he ends the conversation and where the offseason starts and all that. And I hope he's right. I hope he's right. I hope it is a skyscraper and the sky's the limit and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, you hope that you got a dude who's going to be here for the next decade and plus. You know, the next decade plus.
Yep,
you just want to have that kind of stability at that quarterback position and try to get to a point where you can build around him, you know, and not necessarily and let him be the main focus of everything. Because the main focus of what the Falcons want to do is Bijan Robinson right now. And this dude, and I'm with Dave, this dude he's a special, special player. And you watch him, everything, like, it's like, he's like a damn Houdini sometimes.
Yeah,
like, I was like, oh, he's not getting out of that. And then he just squirts through and picks up 7 yards. But the dude is a special, special player. They have some more up in this. Obviously, Drake London, I think, is a solidified himself, one of the best players. I know They want to do the Mike Evans comparison and everything, which is not a bad comparison at all. Mike Evans is a damn, in my opinion, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he got a little bit more juice than Mike.
Okay.
He got a little bit more juice than Mike.
What do you mean? Like a little bit more?
Breaks,
like,
in and out of breaks, stuff like
that. A little more of a technician?
Yeah, more than Mike was. But Mike Evans Hall of Famer.
Can't take anything away from Mike.
Yeah, hell yeah, and I won't.
Thousand yards every year.
Yeah, I damn sure won't take nothing away from Mike. But, it's you're at a position where you got to make some major adjustments. We all have talked about where they have to be at, acquisitions for the free agency or the draft of what this team has to do, also on the coaching aspect of it.
Yeah. Still don't know if anything's coming there. I mean, look, a lot of teams have already made their decisions and moved on. We're talking not just head coaches, but coordinators and stuff. So maybe the Falcons aren't going to do anything, but it's possible.
It really is entirely possible. Because you're seeing now, like you're saying, coordinators are being let go. A lot of them are being let go because better ones are out there.
Yep.
And we'll talk more about it in the NFL No Huddle, but I think that's the key thing right now is you're trying – you don't want to fire some guys, but it's like, okay, I can make an upgrade right now. And I know, well, a man is like, well, we would like to keep you on staff. Well, no.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and go. Yeah, if I'm – what's his name? Nick Sorensen. Yeah. That was the DC in San Francisco.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, well, you don't get to be the DC anymore, but we would like to have you stick around.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to. Yeah, maybe somebody will give me a job. I don't know.
Yeah, like
– I got to go.
Yeah, I'm cool on that.
Yeah, we're not doing demotions around here.
But thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. See you down the road. Thanks again to Arch. Hey, this hour has been brought to you by Padley. We'll come back. We'll get into an NFL No Huddle. We'll talk about some of the rest of those coaching carousel moves that have been made. Start looking ahead to the NFL playoffs this weekend as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.